You are listening to Penguin Radio, the radio station of Dominican University of California. You can also reach us at radio.dominican.edu. And welcome back to In My Head with DJ Lady. So today I wanted to welcome you back. It is Monday night and we are in what feels like week 17 of quarantine. So today I wanted to talk about workload and periods and just a ton of stuff. So it kind of sounds chaotic about how they're all going to fit together, but I promise you it will make sense. So I've been thinking about the workload and stress that a lot of undergrad students or graduate students have been going through. And I mean, especially since this all broke out, it's been very hectic and chaotic. And I honestly don't even remember half the things I'm supposed to be doing during the day. And it's weird because, you know, people think that you would have more time, but for some reason, these days seem like they are lasting forever, but at the same time, I don't have enough time to do everything that I want. So it's been kind of strange, but I'm still trying to get used to it, and it feels like it's taking me forever. Every day I find myself, you know, in the morning making breakfast and then doing schoolwork and then trying to get outside and get some exercise and try to like maintain my mental health. But I just feel so overwhelmed with schoolwork, and it's hard for me to do anything that I want or do something for myself, which I feel like I would have so much more time in a normal day. You know, even going to school and having work, I just feel like I'm doing a lot more. It just, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's just been very weird, and I feel like I have no more time to myself, even though I have all the time in the world now. So I'd asked a few of my friends yesterday and today about how they were feeling, and I'm actually going to interview one of my friends today, but they pretty much said the same exact thing. It's so hard. Your mind is going a million miles an hour, and there's so many other things that you're thinking about before you think about yourself, and that's how I've been feeling. I mean, with school and basically, actually, that's just it. But school has just been, it's been too much. And especially with graduating in May, it doesn't even feel like it's real anymore. It feels really strange. I'm trying to focus on my senior thesis, but I have all my classes and it's been a lot. But I wanted to talk about that today. And also, like PMSing, periods, and all that stuff, because the connection that I was finding in between the two was the fact that it's hard for me to maintain focus in class, and I can't, especially in the environment that I'm in right now, all I want to do is paint and clean and do a ton of things for myself, and it's really hard to, you know, pay attention in class, and especially when this is going on, and I also have so much on my mind, my other schoolwork that I could be doing, my senior thesis, and it's just, I have a lot of work, but as soon as I get started, I get distracted, and it's just really hard to keep it all together. And Friday, I had this class, and I woke up in a panic, because I didn't go to sleep until like 5:30 in the morning, which is also why I think these days are so strange, is because my sleep schedule has been totally off. I missed my class. Well, I thought I missed my class, and I was freaking out because I don't like missing class. And it turns out that it was, you know, Good Friday, and I just lost track of the days and I forgot that school was canceled. But it's just been so much trying to remember everything. And I know, like, I could have a journal, but I do, but even my journal, I just don't really look at it. And I know it's the whole point of them, but it's just, I get too overwhelmed and I start freaking out. Anyways, I was missing, I missed class, or I thought I missed class. And I was thinking about how with school, there's only, you know, you can only miss two classes for basically the course. And I was thinking how that's actually not fair at all, especially in a time like this, where people are still required to be online 24/7. Like, my head hurts. My eyes are, like, killing me from the screen. I can't even, I feel like I'm gonna have, like, scoliosis in a minute, because I can't sit down all day. And it's just been so much. And I was thinking about how unfair that rule is, because, I mean, if you have the flu and you already missed 2 days, that's, you're done. You can't miss any more days. And especially in a time like this, it's almost harder for me to attend classes, because I'm not the best at, you know, time management, which is terrible, but it's hard for me to prioritize, you know, what comes first, because I'm just so overwhelmed that sometimes I have to pick one or the other. And it's been really hard, especially with my sleep pattern being so off schedule that sometimes I won't go to bed until 6 in the morning, and then sometimes I'll wake up at 8 in the morning, or sometimes I'll wake up at 1. And, you know, obviously I'm trying to fix it and go to bed earlier, but that doesn't really seem to be working. I think it's just because I'm stressed, and I'm drinking cups of coffee throughout the day, which is terrible, but I don't know. I'm living my life, but it's just been really crazy. And I was thinking how that rule is especially unfair to women, because, I mean, I have excruciating ovulation cramps and period cramps, and it makes it extremely hard to focus in class, especially when it feels like your stomach is getting ripped out. But that's like the only other example that I thought of. And I was thinking about how I know it's, you know, it's something that every woman has to deal with, and some women have cramps and some women don't. But there are so many other issues that factor in. And I started clicking on the womenshealth.gov, and I was looking around and seeing, you know, like, symptoms or certain conditions that women have with their uterus or their ovaries or their thyroid or any other part of their body that could affect their menstrual cycle. Because my cramps are so terrible, and usually I end up getting sick. Not, you know, like the flu or anything, but I usually throw up in the mornings, and it's just not fun. And why would I want to go to class after experiencing that? So, I mean, it's the only thing that I could associate with, you know, being in quarantine and just not being able to focus, because it's the exact attention span and everything that I usually have when I'm on my period, and it's terrible. So I started reading into, you know, endometriosis, uterine fibroids, and ovarian cysts. And endometriosis is the condition that happens when the lining of the uterus grows outside of the uterus and it doesn't belong there, so it causes pain and swelling, and usually it changes your estrogen, your hormones, and it is extremely painful. And the uterine fibroids that I actually didn't know existed were fibroids that are tumors that grow on the inner wall of the uterus, also cause pain and bleeding, and ovarian cysts, which actually I've had a few friends to have these, which are on the ovaries, and ovarian cysts usually don't have any symptoms, but the pain that they can cause when they get out of hand, or if there are too many, it's completely painful. So I was thinking about, you know, a lot of women, those are very common, they're common throughout all women. And that got me to think too about how many women are so uncomfortable during their day, but they still have to go to class because they don't have the option of really being, you know, online or at their house. So, I mean, this for me is very great because this is working in my favor for this point. But because, I mean, usually when I'm in class, I like say I have an appointment or something and I have to leave because I can't handle it. But it's just unfair how it's not an option to be online in this case, because it's not fair and it's limiting education to women who obviously deserve to have an equal education, but it's not fair that people can't focus and be attentive in class because they're too focused on their stomach or if they're bleeding or, you know, like if it went through their pants or that stuff. And it's really, it's unfair. But, and I am aware that a lot of women don't have these symptoms, but a lot of women do. And so I just wanted to talk about it and make it more normalized, because I feel like a lot of people don't talk about it, and especially women among women, I feel like that's very talked about, but not in the sense of, you know, cramping and PMSing and, you know, your mood swings and headaches, and it gets actually very crazy, and especially for a few of my friends that I know who get migraines during their periods, it's very hard for them, and it sucks. Premenstrual syndrome, PMS, it is a combination of symptoms that women get about a week or two before they get their period, and 90% of women say that they get symptoms of bloating, headaches, and moodiness. And it may be so severe that you miss work, school, or other activities. But other women, you know, they don't have that many intense symptoms. So, I mean, that's very fortunate for them, but a lot of women, usually in their 30s, are most likely to get intense PMS, and it scares me because a lot of the women that I interact with, and even myself, if my symptoms are bad now, I don't even want to know what it's going to be like, especially in early and later months of pregnancy. That's terrifying. I don't even want to think about it. But anyways, there is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And this is also it's called PMDD, which causes irritability, depression, and anxiety. And it usually happens like 2 weeks before your period starts. And the symptoms usually go away 2 to 3 days after it starts. So you usually only have it for the first 2 to 3 days, maybe. I also have irregular periods, which is the worst because it's always irregular. It's never been stable. And I've tried multiple forms of birth control, and a friend of mine had recommended an IUD, which I have been looking into, and it's scary because putting a foreign object in your body could either reject it or not agree with it, and it could make your periods even heavier, or you could not even have another period again for usually the next 5 years. It's usually 5 to 7 years, and I know there's an arm implant that is, I think, 3 years that you have to replace. But it's just, I don't know if I want to be doing that every 5 years. It seems kind of scary to be doing that and being in that pain. Because I've had all friends, all shapes and sizes, get the IUD. And a lot of them do like it, but it is scary because one of my friends had actually gotten the arm implant from Planned Parenthood, and it didn't go the way that she wanted to at all. Her arm was rejecting the implant, and it was actually very scary, and it looked infected, and it could have been, you know, a infection that happened when the arm implant was put in and not proper taking care of it. But I was going to get the inserted IUD, which a lot of my friends have, and they like it a lot, but a lot of people don't agree with the idea of those, and especially a lot of people don't agree or have a hard time thinking about, you know, having metal inside of you and if it's even good for your body and if it's even good to skip periods and not even have periods, or if it's bad to be bleeding too heavily, because it's terrifying. And you need to take everything into consideration when you're getting the implant done, which I have. So I'm still trying to make my mind up, but it's terrifying. the pill usually, I've been on that for 2-3 years, and it's hard for me to remember to take it even for 3 years, because sometimes it's in my car and I'm in class, or and I tried another cycle taking it at night, but sometimes I'd fall asleep or I was out with my friends and forgot to take the package. So it's just an inconvenience, and I don't want to deal with that anymore. And I was reading into irregular periods because I wanted to figure out what I could do to try to make them regular on my own. And I didn't even think about doing this like 3 years ago, but because mostly I thought that it was normal to have, you know, sometimes they were off, but it's definitely not. They are usually considered irregular if the menstrual cycle is shorter or longer than average. And usually, I know my friends and I, we had problems of having it for 7 days or 3 days, and it's confusing, especially if someone is sexually active and they're having regular periods. It is frightening and scary, and even when it's 3 days or if it's spotting, it's very confusing. And so an example would be a normal 25-day cycle jumping from 25 to 46 every other month or every alternating month, and jumping back down to a 25. And these periods are usually, it's normal for teenage girls or premenopausal women. And so I started looking up the reasons why one could have irregular periods, and there was a huge list. A lot of these I had no idea even affected your period at all. And some are eating disorders, and most often anorexia nervosa is the most common eating disorder to affect your period. But any eating disorder will affect your period, like bulimia nervosa and binge eating disorder. And thyroid problems, high amounts of prolactin in the blood, and certain medicines such as those for epilepsy or anxiety. And I had no idea that medicine really affected a period, because I've been on medication my entire life. So I had no idea about that. And polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, which causes multiple ovarian cysts, hormonal imbalance, and irregular periods, which 1 in 10 women with irregular menstrual cycles has PCOS. So it's not very common, but it still could be a possibility, with primary ovarian insufficiency, POI, which is when ovaries stop working normally before the age of 40, pelvic inflammatory disease, PID, which is an infection in the reproductive organs, and PID is most often caused by a sexually transmitted infection, an STI. Stress, studies show that high levels of chronic long-term stress can lead to irregular periods, and uncontrolled diabetes, type 1 and 2, and obesity, because the extra fat in the body makes the hormone estrogen, and the estrogen changes the normal menstrual cycle and can cause missed, irregular, or heavy periods. So there's so many factors that play into having irregular cycles. And so I started reading into heavy periods, and heavy bleeding affects every 1 in 5 American women each year. And the causes of heavy bleeding include problems with ovulation, uterine lining, thyroid problems, uterine fibroids, uterine polyps, certain medications, pregnancy problems, bleeding disorders, and obesity. So with those, I mean, there's so many problems, and even stress. I had no idea that that could affect your period. And it's very crazy thinking that your body, you know, being totally overwhelmed and stressed, can have a extreme impact on your body and the way your organs work and function. Sophomore year of college, I had actually had heart palpitations because I was so stressed and overworked, because I had 2 jobs. I had school. I was trying to do my homework and study, and it was just so much, and I couldn't keep up with it. And I started to have heart palpitations, and I had to wear an EKG, and it was crazy. And I was dealing with that for a long time during my sophomore year, from October of that year to around May the next year. So, I mean, I knew that it could affect your heart, but I didn't know it could affect your period. And I was just kind of amazed because I feel like I should have known that, but I didn't know that estrogen and hormones and all that stuff could be affected by your mood. So that was very interesting. And severe stress can affect the part of your brain that controls reproduction. And I had no idea that that could even happen. And as a result, ovulation in your period could even stop. Missing periods, amenorrhea, is a condition that I think out of 3 to 5% of American women do experience. And when I was in high school, I was playing volleyball, and I also had club volleyball, and I was working, and I also had school. And I didn't understand why, you know, I didn't have mine yet, and I didn't get mine yet, and all my friends got theirs. And it makes more sense now, because I was very stressed, and also physical activity can make your period not come until you're 15, 16. And I didn't understand why, you know, the reasons behind the madness, but I just wanted to share them because I had no idea about the reasons, because, you know, my doctor would say, oh, it's normal. And I had a few friends who also didn't get theirs until late high school, and they were saying it was normal. And I mean, we were confused, but after reading this terribly long list of reasons, it's kind of sad and confusing. And I mean, you have to go through a whole entire list to figure out what's happening with your body, and you're identifying with like half of the list, and it's just kind of hard to cancel out like which ones are, you know, what's actually wrong or what's happening. It's like trying to figure out what's like when you Google search your symptoms on WebMD and try to diagnose yourself because you don't want to go to the doctors. It's terrifying, and usually people come up with the wildest answers when they're doing that, which is kind of, you know, the worst idea to begin with. But everyone's obviously interested in what's going on with their body. So one of my dear friends from high school, which I would talk to about this all the time because we had the same schedules and the same experiences and, you know, everything, I was talking to her, and I'm going to interview her today and ask her a few questions about her stress and how she's dealt with schoolwork and how she's dealt with past, you know, cramps and everything that's happening, and if she thinks that both of them are related in the sense of not being able to focus, and also her efforts on trying to maintain physical health and mental health and how everything's been going. So, how has your mental health been since we are in quarantine?
It's been surprisingly, it's been okay. If you would have asked me before all of this happened how I would be being a month inside or more, but I would say that I would have thought it had been a lot worse. But surprisingly, I'm doing okay. I think all of us are just trying to find stuff to fill each day. So I've just been trying to do that and just keeping myself busy and just not letting it overwhelm me, even though some days I do feel like that. But overall, better than I would have expected.
Do you think that, has your physical health been the same since you've been in quarantine?
Actually, my physical health has been a lot better. I have been like motivated. I mean, since I don't have as much to do every day, I've been more motivated to like cook well and not just heat something up in the microwave and spend time like learning new exercises or looking up YouTube videos on workouts. So actually I've been doing a lot better as far as like eating habits and exercise habits and stuff like that.
No, I definitely agree on that, because I've been eating a lot better since this all started, because I have a kitchen now and I didn't back at school. So So I can make my own food now. And it's just, and also the groceries are, my mom's buying the groceries. So that's a fun time.
I've been in charge of the groceries. And I haven't like let myself buy any junk food at first. The first 2 weeks I was buying Oreos and yogurt pretzels and I don't even know what soda.
Yogurt pretzels.
And now, and after 2 weeks, I looked at myself and I was like, wow, this is not okay. I didn't feel well. I didn't look well. And I knew that I couldn't, like, there was no way I was going to keep that up the whole quarantine. I was going to be just horrified with myself by the end of it. So after I ran out of those bad and like unhealthy foods, I decided to just stop buying snacks. And it's helped a lot, obviously, not having that in the house.
I think honestly it might have been the opposite for me because since spring break started, I was like buying healthy stuff and yeah, like we were going out and stuff, but you know, like to the bars and stuff, which is like obviously not the best. But I was buying good groceries and I was like running every day. But as soon as I knew we were going to be stuck inside for a month, I was like, oh, what's the purpose of anything?
That's
And
so funny.
yeah. Because I thought it was just going to be, oh, extra week past spring break. But then as the news started to get more depressing, I was like, oh man, we're going to be in this for a while. And then it came out
Totally.
saying that they were going to wait another month. And then a month after the and then, okay, honestly, no, I take that back. I'd say the first month, you know, like when they're like, oh, March. And then I was like, oh, and then like, you know, I tried for like maybe another week and then I just gave up. And I was like, no, absolutely not. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. It's been really hard to keep up the motivation, but yeah.
Have you felt that your schoolwork is becoming too much with your mental health and especially being locked in, or do you think that it's been okay?
I think surprisingly, our school has been pretty laid back and kind of going more toned down on assignments rather than amping up, which I've heard most kids have been struggling with. So surprisingly, I was worried about how my math class was going to be transitioning online, but he has made it super easy. He's just recording himself and posting it on YouTube so I can go on whenever. So it's definitely more convenient, and my teachers definitely haven't been making things worse for me. It's been actually like easier, so surprisingly.
So, and how have you felt with, you know, not having a gym or a park or a beach or somewhere to exercise or even somewhere to, because I know we would sit on Westcliff all the time, you know, when we didn't want to be home or if when we wanted to hang out and we had nothing to do. But how have you felt that like everything's been shut down? And like, how have you felt with that and like being able to exercise or even walk around places that you used to walk around in and you can't do that anymore?
I feel super sad. I feel trapped. I feel locked in a cage. I feel like I do miss going out with my friends to eat and working and stuff like that, but I just miss mainly like just the feeling of like fresh air. I mean, I can go outside, but not without feeling like a criminal. So
That
I
for
just
sure
miss,
just the fresh air doesn't hit the same.
I just miss being able to, I just miss not having to think twice about things, you know, like just getting an idea. Oh, I want to go for a walk with Haley on Westcliff, or let's go to Henry Cowell or whatever. You know, it sucks having to, like, for a split second, you like forget that you're on quarantine and then you remember and it's like heartbreak all over again. So it's definitely been hard. It's definitely depressing having to stay indoors all day, and I don't even have a front yard or a backyard or really anywhere to go. So it's been hard, but it's been okay.
Have you found other places to like walk or exercise since then? Because I actually haven't asked you about that because I know they shut down the stairs, right?
No, that's still open, but they shut. I wasn't going on the actual beach, but I was running in front of the volleyball courts by my house, that beach right there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing that, and I think I'm still allowed to do that. But I was going a little bit too intense the first week that I started running, and I've hurt my knee a little bit. So I haven't been going out as much because I'm trying to rest it. But the first couple of weeks in quarantine, I was going out for a run a lot by the beach because I live like 5 minutes away from it. So that was super relaxing. And Yeah, definitely exercising outside is a lot better. I've been doing some workouts on YouTube in here, but of course it's not the same.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, no, I've been trying to do the same thing, but I mean, I go on my treadmill and do those activities, the workout activities that you sent me.
oh, really?
Yeah. But
Yeah, they're hard.
yeah, Jesus. And my mom has like the old Insanity workout tapes that I was about to plug in today because I wanted
Please.
to because I
Oh
wanted to
my
do that.
gosh.
But I couldn't take it seriously. I was
No.
watching them on YouTube again and I was like, oh no.
Dude, please. And you should send me, you should FaceTime me so I can do them with you. FaceTime the TV.
Yeah. So
Totally.
funny. But yeah, anyways, I was just because I know that that's been kind of like hard for me and
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's not like we ever like really ran on Westcliff, but like even like also being outside feels like it's like a treat to like run
Oh,
outside and walk outside.
100%.
And also because like I can't the places that I would go to do that are off limits or there's too many people down there and I get freaked out and I think I'm gonna die if someone walks past me. So I don't wanna do
Literally.
that. And it's
Yep.
terrifying.
Yep.
And yeah, and especially Henry Cowell and especially how I wanted to do that again. How we wanted to make that a plan and then as soon as we did it got shut down, which
I
was
know.
terrible.
I know, yeah, it's crazy.
But also, so I was talking about periods and period cramps and PMSing and all that stuff. Has your period ever costed you, like missing work or school or just any of the above?
Oh, yeah, of course, definitely. Now that I'm older, it is just more of a annoyance rather than actually disturbing my life, like as in missing anything, work or school related. But that was also because I got on the birth control pill to control my really bad cramps and period, like heaviness. But definitely when I was younger and I was still learning the ropes and stuff, it was really hard. And I have this one story from when I was in middle school. I don't remember what grade I was in, probably sixth or something, but I had such a bad period, such bad cramps. I couldn't stand it. And I went and I asked if I could go to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom and I was sitting on the toilet and I w looked down at the blood and I was just so like, there was just. It just was like too much. There was so much blood and I was just overwhelmed and my cramps and I felt like I was gonna faint. So I laid down on the disgusting Mission Hill middle school bathroom floor because I felt like I was gonna faint. I didn't know what to do. And I laid down and I laid there for a couple minutes and the floor was so cold and it felt nice because I was just dying. I was sweating. I was just And so I lay there for a little bit and then I walked my ass and I went home.
Yeah.
It was horrible. So, and there's been other stuff like that. Like one day we were playing basketball and I got up from the bench and there was a little period blood like on there. And someone was like, ew, what is that? And I was like, haha, yeah, ew, what is that? And I was like, oh my God, Natalie. And I was like trying to, act like it wasn't me.
Yeah.
So there has been definitely a lot of traumatizing things, period related, but I've definitely learned how to deal with it. And the birth control pills have been such a help for sure.
When did you get yours? You got yours. Like,
I
what
got mine in
age?
fifth grade. I remember having it when we went on the science camp field trip in fifth grade. Of course, I had it the week that we went camping, and obviously I was five, I was in fifth grade, so what are you, 10?
I was
And
five.
yeah, and I didn't use tampons, of course, and I didn't have a mom, so I didn't know what to do, and I went on the trip, and I told my fifth grade teacher if I could go in the pool. And because I had a pad on, and she was like, I mean, that's up to you if you want. And so I went in, of course, I was like, of course I'm going to go in with my friends. But then when I got out, I didn't realize why it felt like a soaking diaper. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it was a lot of trial and error for sure, like growing up and like learning on my own, really, because I didn't have anyone to teach me. So yeah, but yeah, I was super young. I don't know how it came on to me so young, but.
Because I didn't have mine until what, like junior, I was like 17.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's so insane.
Like almost 17. So yeah. I don't know. It feels like mine's still a regular, like it's 4 years and it's like almost exactly 4 years and it still hasn't been regulated. And also I was talking about like pills versus IUD and arm implants. And I was considering getting the, I think it's called the Skyla. Mm-hmm. And it's an IUD, but I just wanted to know about your opinions on IUDs and how you think, if you think that they're healthy for your body, or, you know, what's your thought of having a foreign object like push inside of you? Mm-hmm. Like, how would you think that would affect you? And like, would you be open to having one?
Totally. I personally am, I think, sadly, I kind of already am past, and this could change, but I got kind of past the prime time that most girls learn how to use tampons. And since I didn't have a mom around, it was just easier to use pads. And I didn't really have anyone to like show me how to like go about inserting and how long to have it in. It just, the whole idea scared me, and I just never got accustomed to using them. And so I think that I already don't really have the courage to use that. So the thought about the IUD kind of scares me, just because I am not very comfortable with anything up there, as like even as just a tampon. So imagine an IUD is kind of in there for, I think, a long time, right? Like 3 years or something?
5 to 7, or what, 3, I think. If it's, it depends on what brand it is, but it could be like 5, it's usually 5 to 7, I heard, especially with the newer ones that have came out. It's to 7 years, which honestly that freaks me out, and I would just prefer I would honestly say 3 to be safe. 7 years is a long time. Yeah, I would say 3 years to be safe, even if it was 5, because I'm such a freak about that. And especially, you know, like being sexual, and also because I have, you know, irregular periods, and it's also scary because if you're sexually active, like not irregular periods being normal, and that also being a bummer, because then it's very scary, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. I am not comfortable at all with the idea of not getting my period, A, because what you said, not knowing, and B, I just think that having your period is a natural woman's body function. And if I don't have one, I know that doctors say it's fine and that nothing's happening, but I just kind of feel like it's building up or something, and I would just rather know and just make sure that all of my things are being flushed out and stuff like that. So that's another downside that I wouldn't enjoy about the IUD.
That's what I've always thought that. But I mean, you know, like the doctors say it doesn't cause infertility. I can't talk. Infertility. But I feel like it does, because I feel like the hormones, I mean, there's a hormonal and non-hormonal, but I heard that hormonal is better for, I mean, for me, that's what my doctor said, but it depends on the person. But I get scared because I'm like, oh no, like, does that mean I'm gonna have raging headaches for a month? Or, and especially when you first get it in, you bleed pretty much for 3 months.
That's what I've heard.
Being like borderline anemic, I don't want to be bleeding for 3 months, and that just doesn't sound like a fun time.
Imagine how much like products you're gonna use.
Yeah, like 3 years of just bleeding for potentially maybe having it, your period every month, or potentially maybe not ever having it again, and then getting that replaced in, what, 5 years, and then, you know, because your body can react differently to it the second time, so maybe they're heavier, and it's just, I don't know if I want to deal with that, but I've never been able to take the pill at the exact same time every day. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can do it for like maybe 2 weeks, and then it's just I forget it once, and then it's just game over, and then I have to start all over again, and it's the worst.
Totally. Yeah, I see that too. I definitely think that it is hard. I think it sucks that women even have to take any form of birth control because it messes with your hormones, it messes with your mental health, it messes with all kinds of stuff. And on top of that, you have this like responsibility on you, whether that be remember every single day to take the pill, go in every 3 months for a shot, or have something inside of you, you know, whether the implant or the IUD. It's just not fair. I think that women have to deal with that so much, you know, and that really does affect you every single day, whether that be just remembering to take it or increasing anxiety levels or depression, you know, it can affect you in so many ways. So.
I know, and I feel like for women, already having their period, like why do we have to deal with something else, like why can't like
Exactly.
men do something for once? Like
Totally.
just take a birth control pill for men, but then also like they can lie, 'cause a lot of men are like girls can lie and say they didn't take the pill, but it's like okay, if they're lying, like they're the ones that are going to have the baby.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I mean, obviously the guy's gonna be responsible too, but like that's a toll on their body. But I wouldn't trust a guy saying,
Oh,
well,
never.
I took it, like no, like that's why it's kind of like anyways, because
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
trust, yeah, not a
yeah.
chance.
Unless that's like your boyfriend, you know, and you are like heavily committed to each other, and you know, he would feel bad to lie to you. But if you're just gonna be hooking up and stuff, then yes, definitely. I think that it's important for, you to be responsible for yourself because, of course, at the end of the day, it's gonna affect you the most. So, but yeah, it definitely does suck. So, I don't know.
Well, I just want to thank you for letting me interview you, and I'll talk to you later. So that was just, yeah, one of my friends from high school. And yeah, so I hope everyone, can relate on some of her stories and some of the experiences that we shared, because honestly, it's good to, hear that you're not the only one with some embarrassing stories. And just, enlighten a few folks, because I had no idea that, I learned some new stuff today too. So, you were listening to In My Head with DJ Lady on Penguin Radio, which is the official radio station of Dominican University of California. And you can also tune in at radio.dominican.edu. And yeah, I will be back with another episode next weekend or next week. And I'm not too sure what that's going to be on yet, but we will figure it out. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed today. And yeah, she's my friend, super funny. And I really enjoyed her stories because I can relate to definitely a lot of things that she was talking about. So, yeah, if you want to tune in next week, I'll be on next week. And this was In My Head with DJ Lady. Everyone, stay safe and have a wonderful time inside, and try to make the best of it, and try to learn something about maybe the people you're living with, but not only them, but learn something about yourself, because that is important, and especially in a time like this, where we have more than enough time to self-reflect and self-evaluate and reevaluate our decision that we've made, or what we should be doing, or what we could be doing. This is a wonderful time to do that and much more. So do that. Eat, sleep, drink water, and have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye.